Where dreamers dream, where dreams come true, there's no limit to what we can do. Turning no to yes, leaving doubt behind, releasing the stress, we were born to shine.
Hey. Come on. Time to take it to the limit. Time to push you to the limit. Come on. I wake up in the morning like, this is the day. Hey, this is the day. Yeah, this is the day. Hey, I get up off the bed like, this is the day. This is the day. Yeah, this is the day. What I say. And I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever did. Come on, yeah. To everyone that doubted me, gon' stay never did. Yeah. Ain't no sleeping in, no. Time to rise and grind, yeah. Thank the Lord for another one, it's time to shine. In this cold world, working like I'm on my mind. But I'm doing it with a purpose, man, I'm trying to climb. Up the ladder, most would rather just be kicking back. Sleeping all day, no, man, I think it's whack. Cut off the TV, get off the blog site, and go pursue my passion, stay at it all night. While the others will be partying, they like a wank. But what I'm trying to say, this really ain't the time to play. Instead, it's time to play. Go get my mind right, this little light of mine. Go let it shine bright, bright. We can make it, homie, let's keep our grind tight. Stay focused on our goals, and not the limelight, yeah. Think about my ancestors, got me driven. Gotta take advantage of every single day that I've been given. Come on, I wake up in the morning like, this is the day. Hey, this is the day, yeah, this is the day. Hey, I get up off the bed like, this is the day. This is the day, yeah, this is the day. What I say, and I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever did. Come on, yeah. To everyone that doubted me, gon' stay never did. I ain't stopping now, no. You must be kidding, bruh. Shit. May have been knocked down, but I'm getting up. Dedicated every day, ain't no switching up. Though it's tribulations that I face, ain't no giving up. Never better yet, I'ma go a little harder. Do my research, time to work a little smarter. Give quite the effort just to go a little farther. Daily chasing after all my goals like a baller. It's time to be the best version of me. Won't stop to work, it's complete. Bump what you heard in the streets, cause what? You only give out what you put in. Yeah, ain't no shortcuts, ain't no rules you put in. No, that can give you the satisfaction of working your tail off while your competition relaxing. Cause I'm getting better, feel myself getting stronger. Endure any weather, I can run a little longer. I wake up in the morning like, this is the day. Hey, this is the day, yeah, this is the day. Hey, I get up off the bed like, this is the day. This is the day, yeah, this is the day. What I say, and I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever did. Come on. To everyone that doubted me, gon' stay never did. No, I wasn't made to be weak. Continue to stand strong while the others take a seat. See, when they nervous and quiet, I have the courage to speak. Thank my heavenly father for making me so unique. Yeah. Go ahead and critique if it will make you feel secure. Uh-huh. And though they throw their little stones at me, I still endure. See, it knocked me off my feet, but I'm coming back for more. It's like I found a key that can open all the doors. Hey. Grateful for what I have. Grateful just for the chance to be able to still advance. Not laying up on the ground. Nope. So with every breath in my lungs, I'm going after my goals. I won't be set till I'm done. Two of my people that lose the weight trying to eat right. To those that doubted you, they about to have a seat ride. You can see it looking fly than you ever been. And those that left you in the past, go wish they never did. I wake up in the morning like, this is the day. Hey, this is the day. Yeah, this is the day. Hey, I get up off the bed like, this is the day. This is the day. Yeah, this is the day. What I say. And I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever seen. What? And I'ma go harder than I ever did. Come on, yeah. To everyone that doubted me, gon' stay never did.
Welcome to season 3 of Sade Champagne Show, where we dream, where we live the impossible. Grind Hard Radio. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in at 323-693-3043. Join me with my cast, Veronica Escobel Winters, Christina Renee, Ayakunle Falama, Rick and Melissa Wood, Michelle Morgan, and Ebony and Erica from Tulala One on YouTube. We have celebrity guests, music, entertainment, spirituality, sports, fitness, health, wellness, beauty, hot topics, education, entrepreneurship, and more.
Yeah, season 3 of the Sade Champagne Show, Reinhardt Radio.
Good evening, everyone. That was Antoine King with This Is The Day. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 53 of the Sade Champagne Show on Reinhardt Radio. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search The Sade Champagne Show, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks to everyone for tuning in all around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song and to Scott Swish for mixing it. Thanks to Kata Mafiaso for helping me to create my new radio drop. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced over 300 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power of a Dream Tour. I love mentoring, coaching, authentically being myself, and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold in others. Tonight, our celebrity guest includes one of my longtime inspirations, number one Billboard charting, gold-selling artist, and runner-up on the sixth season of American Idol, Blake Lewis. Blake and I will be talking about his brand new album, Portrait of a Chameleon, and we also have a brand new Mind Right Game Tight segment with my castmate, Michelle Morgan, and also a new Entrepreneurs on the Move segment where I'll be sharing about when, how, and why I became an entrepreneur as a child and what are some of my favorite tips and advice to up-and-coming entrepreneurs. I just wrapped up a stint of shows at the Ventura County Fair. It was 12 days, and I had 9 shows over the course of those days. Some of the days, I had 2 shows at the fair that day, and it was such a blast. I have so many cool stories and testimonies from the fair that I need to write them all down, and I'll be sharing them with you all between now and the end of this season, which is, can you believe, Season 3 ends at the end of this month, August 30th, and we will be on hiatus until the spring. Thank you to all my old fans and new fans who came out to the Ventura County Fair. I'm so thankful to my county, and I know that one day I'm going to be performing on that grandstand arena stage, and I'm just super thankful to be already living my dreams and continuing to progress and accelerate in that every single day. One of the cool stories I want to share with you all is when I premiered my new single, Hold On, Overcome, which was written and produced by my music producers, The Quakes, there was this precious little girl in the audience at one of the shows, and she couldn't have been older than 3. And she was jumping up and down with so much excitement, and she looked like she was about to jump out of her skin with joy as I sang that song. And so that just really touched my heart. And then when she met me after the show and a grandmother bought one of my CDs, she like grabbed the CD from me so fast and was cheesing from ear to ear with her smile, and we took a picture together, and it was just such an amazing time. I'm so thankful to be able to make an impact in other people's lives. And one of the people who worked at the fair, she made sure she came to me at the last day of the fair, and she told me that she'd been listening to me all throughout the fair, and because she worked at one of the booths, and it just really blessed her and encouraged her, and she loved my voice and my remixes, and she was super encouraged. So I had a great time, and I'm so thankful. Me and my artists are always booking new shows and performances, and we love traveling. And if you're looking to bring me, my Power of a Dream Tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces. I'm creating new songs. I'm going back into the recording studio this month with my music producers, The Quakes. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. That's GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. It's super cool because my music producers were finally able to see me perform live, because I can email them all I want and tell them of the great stories of how people are impacted by the music that we have created together and by my performances, but they were able to see it firsthand, and the Quakes were in tears, and they were so encouraged and empowered. And I'm amazed and ecstatic about what we are coming out with and what you all are going to be able to experience with us in the coming months and years. I'm live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, like usual, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram, I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Sade Champagne Show, or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who's already been tweeting me, you Facebook me, you Instagram me, you YouTube me, you email me. Your support is amazing, and I'm super grateful unto you. Our celebrity guest and one of my longtime inspirations is on the line. Blake Lewis first came to national attention as one of the most unique contestants ever to compete on American Idol, and long before that, as a teenager, he was well known as B Shorty in Seattle's a cappella hip-hop and rave scenes. But with the release of his ambitious and completely independent third album, Portrait of a Chameleon, Blake is taking things to a whole new level. The follow-up to the critically acclaimed Audio Daydream, which sold 350,000 copies and spawned the top 40 single Break Another, and Heartbreak on Vinyl, the title track of which went to number one twice on the Billboard's dance charts, Portrait of a Chameleon is fun, sexy, and positive. I call it future pop, says Blake. His new album is on Audio Daydream Records and distributed through In Grooves. The album also has a hard-hitting bass In Your Face, Your Touch, the soundtrack to 2013's Microsoft Internet Explorer 10 campaign, which starred Blake and played on more than 19,000 theater screens across the U.S., received more than 1.2 billion impressions, and has already sold 130,000 copies worldwide. Hi, Blake. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. What a pleasure and honor to have you as a celebrity guest on Season 3 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio Network.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So I love your new album, Portrait of a Chameleon. So first off, I want to have you tell us about your new album and how it came about. We're going to be playing a few of the tracks you brought us throughout this interview.
Oh, man, this album, it took a while to create. My friend Matt Lang moved to L.A., and we were like, hey, we should start creating. He had done a remix for my song Binary Love that I really, really loved. And so he moved to L.A., and we just started creating. And I already had about 5 songs done lyrically and pre-production for my album. And he's just an amazing sound designer, and we kind of reworked those songs. And that's pretty much how it came about. And from there, we just, you know, started making some original compositions, and we had about 15 songs done, and it was originally going to be an EP, 2 different EPs, because the album's kind of like 2 different sides. It's like side A, side B, you know, one side's kind of sexy and moody, and the other is fun and pop.
And so where can people purchase Portrait of a Chameleon?
On any of their digital outlets, and from my website if they want a physical copy.
Okay. And your physical website, can you give that out to our audience as well?
Yeah, it's just BlakeLewisOfficial.com.
Awesome. So everyone, you can get Portrait of a Chameleon on any of the digital outlets. It includes iTunes, Amazon, which are the most popular ones, but I'm sure he's on all of them. And then also his website, BlakeLewisOfficial.com. Tell us about your song, Not Today. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, it's all also on Spotify and all those, you know. Any way you want to consume it, you can pretty much do. It's a personal song. It's it was a tough one to write. It's about my mother and her alcohol addiction, and one of my best friends getting over heroin. And I just wanted to tell a story. I mean, it's not, you know, saying kids stay off drugs. It's just a story to tell a story. I was trying to get in my, you know, police/sting mode of songwriting and just, you know, share a story. And it turned out amazing. I loved it. It's one of my favorite songs off the album. And it means a lot to me when I sing it. And, you know, like the opening lyric is, Dinah's got the world in the palm of her hand. And that's my mom's name, Dinah. So it's the most personal song I've written in a long time. And a little more social conscious this album than before. Mm-hmm. I think that has to go with me growing as a songwriter and just growing up in general.
And that's one of the things I love about you as well. You're really great. You're a really great storyteller. You know what I mean? Like you, I feel like you've always been like that. Like you're always telling a story within your music. And even though this may be the most personal song you've written in a while, I feel like you're always sharing a part of your heart through your music.
I tried to, you know, I mean, I don't see the point. I mean, I love fun pop music that other artists do, that other people write for them, that's popular on the radio and all, and I get it, you know, it's fun, but I guess I'm here to communicate my story and my life, and, you know, I'm glad that I have fans that actually want to listen to it you know, be a part of my journey.
Definitely. So, please introduce Not Today as we play it on air for our listeners.
Okay, well, this is the single off my album. It's called Not Today.
Are you looking for a dynamic musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular charitable and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com. That's SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com to book her for your next event or project.
Hey, this is Blake Lewis. You're listening to my girl, Sade Champagne, on Grind Hard Radio.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. We're chatting with one of my longtime inspirations, dynamic international gold-selling musical artist and performer, Blake Lewis. So, Blake, your live shows are such an experience. And if anyone who has not seen you live, they need to go, because it is a must that you must do at least once in your life, and you will end up wanting to go to many more shows of yours. When is your next live performance, and what can fans expect from your shows?
Oh, man, I have one this weekend, but I just had one a couple of days ago in L.A., and it was really fun, and I do try to make expect the unexpected, and I do a full one-man show for some of my performance with loop pedals and different instruments and beatboxing, of course. And this time I had a violinist play and my friend
wow.
on piano and guitar, and we kind of did more of a singer-songwriter set of my songs. And I didn't focus so much on the one-man show / beatboxing and looping. I saved that for the last couple songs of the show, but it was really fun. It's nice to... My album is, such a big production, and it took a year and a half to make, and, it's very large sounding, and I really wanted the show to be more intimate and really break down my songs for what they are, which is just vocals and a good melody,
And it's been amazing to watch you accelerate and transform over the years while still staying true to yourself. Like, you had a great voice already when you were on American Idol, but when I had the opportunity to see you live again recently at the Canyon Club, I just was blown away. I'm, like, looking around, and if I wouldn't have seen you myself and knowing that it was you who were singing, I'd have been like, dude, this is totally lip syncing, because his voice is just too powerful and so beautiful. And it's like, for a lot of other artists that are continuing to grow in their passions, like, it's just not fair that you can beatbox like that and also sing the way that you do and play multiple instruments. And so why is it important for you to not be boxed in or labeled as an artist, Blake?
First of all, you're way too kind. I'm just like any other artist that's always, self-loathing in the fact that, we're never good enough, on stage. So that's really nice. Hear, I just have always been kind of a rebellious child, not in the sense of, me just going and doing crazy things when I was a kid, but my parents, taught me to be myself basically, and not, give up on your dream or, they basically just told me to be open and, present myself the way I want to be presented and don't give a F about what anyone else thinks. And so I've kind of just done that. And I think I've survived in this industry and just in life in general, because I have really good instincts. And when I've faltered, it's because I've gone away from my instincts and started listening to other people. And so I just kind of do that with my music too. And I'm not
businessman or a marketer. And I just, you know, I just want to release my music and try and get out there. And, you know, mm-hmm. I definitely think that beatboxing is a live art form, and I think, you know, I'm putting more money into my shows than actually making an album, because I produce my own music. And that's why I don't have many albums out there, because it takes me a long time to produce, because I'm the perfectionist when it comes to studio stuff, because I'm not the greatest at it, too. So it takes me a while to, you know, make an album. This next one I'm coming out with, not so much, won't take as much, because it's going to be more organic instead of electronic, I would say, more acoustic, more, I don't know, a little more jazzy, more rhythmic. As far as live shows, you know, and being on American Idol, I just stuck to my guns and being me, and whether producers or directors liked it or not, you know, which sometimes it will come off as cocky or egotistic or, you know, and hopefully for what I like, it just comes off confident, you know, because I don't ever like put it down. I'm like, no, I know myself. You know, I kind of know how to do me. I don't know what you want me to do. So I'm just going to stick to myself.
Well, you know, to anyone out there listening, you are definitely not cocky or egotistical. You are very humble, you know, and a very easygoing person. And I think it is important to be able to have confidence and to know who you are. Tell us about your new song, Your Touch, and then please introduce it as we play it on air for our listeners.
All right, so Your Touch, just a little more in-depth about it. It is the first song that I wrote for the album. And you get one of these songs, maybe a couple. I'm not a really fast writer. But maybe a couple times an album you'll get a song that you just write really, really quickly. I wrote the song in like 40 minutes. It just came together. Matt and I... pulled out the guitar. It actually kind of sounded like a Creed song or something at first. Like, you always write the comedy song first before you get to the lyric writing, because you're just messing around in the studio. And this one just came together really quickly. I was like, oh, wow, that's great. And this one was just, I don't know, it kind of happened, you know. Sometimes you get those great days in the studio, and you know, maybe it's just a hopeful, I like to say hopeful romantic instead of hopeless romantic.
That's good.
Love, and I have love in my life now, but when I wrote this song, you know, it's just a call out for the dreamers out there, you know, waiting for love. And yeah, that's it. I mean, it's simple. It's a simple song. It's probably the simplest song I wrote on the album, actually.
It's so beautiful and smooth, too. Like, I love, like, the texture of the song. It's really smooth, and just, like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I love this song, too. And it's just, like, it really just draws you in. And like I said, I love how you're able to just ease in and out of different genres, like, so effortlessly, and it never sounds to me or feels like you're trying hard. It just feels like that's just a part of who you are, and, you know,
like you said,
like to go in and out of different styles.
Yeah, I really believe that there's not a bad context to write songs, and I think that's also the trouble that I've had, though, too, is because all my albums are kind of all over the place, because I'm a producer. You know, it's my next album, actually, is the first, like, almost cohesive album, because it's almost all anthems. But for this one, Your Touch, it was the first song. It was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, we like this. It's very simple production. You know, it's just 808s, claps, snaps, some samples of beatboxing in there, and then a little bit of guitar kind of bass, and a little bit of synths, and it's just very spacey and moody, and yeah, and then the chorus comes and it's like, whoa, it's kind of hard,
It was in a Microsoft ad campaign for their Internet Explorer 10, which was really cool, an amazing opportunity for me to get my song out there and share it with the world. Yeah, so here's my single off of Portrait of Chameleon called Your Touch. Enjoy.
Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
I've been writing you a story. The headline reads, we're meant to be. See, I'm not one to write set fiction.
Adult who has a passion for playing sports and who is determined to reach their full potential as an athlete? Hi, my name is Michelle Morgan and I'm a transformational sports coach, speaker, author, and founder of Vida Es Oro. I earned a college basketball scholarship and my purpose is to empower young athletes to reach their full potential in sports and in life. I wrote the book, How Youth Triumph in Sports, Tools That Create a Triumphant Life, for young athletes to know the valuable tools that makes players great, but most importantly, all those tools that they're learning to carry over to create a triumphant life. My book is available on Amazon.com, Or you can also go to my website at vidaesoro.com. That's www.vidaesoro.com. You may also reach me at youthsports@vidaesoro.com to find out more information with working with young athletes. This is Michelle Morgan from the Mind Ray Game Tight segment, and you're listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. We're here with one of American Idol's most popular and creative contestants, Season 6 top 2 finalist Blake Lewis. And I should say he went on to top the Billboard charts twice. And so we're talking about his brand new album, Portrait of a Chameleon. So, Blake, what advice and words of encouragement would you give to up-and-coming musical artists?
Keep grinding. I was very fortunate enough to make it onto the television show, I'm not going to lie. I had never seen American Idol before. My friend drugged me to the auditions, and I kept making it, you know. And I think the universe, God, you know, put me there. You know, I just kept going with my instincts. So I always tell people to say yes to opportunity. It's no good saying no and staying home. Like, what are you going to do? Like, if there's a gig out there, something that you haven't experienced before, go do it. I mean, don't waste time, you know, in life, just, you know, wishing or, you know, asking what if, you know. So, I mean, that's my advice. And as far as, like, music and business, it's constantly changing, but there's a book by Donald Passman called How the Music Business Works, something like that. I read that when I first, you know, was getting into the machine after Idol, and that really helped me, you know, as far as, because I things I wish I knew, you know, like when I was 19, I had a number one in Seattle with this hip hop group called Unexpected Arrival, and Twista was on the track, and I wrote the chorus for it. I didn't get any publishing or any money because I didn't know. I was just, you know, clueless at 19. So, you know, I wish I knew that, you know, otherwise at 19, I probably would have been making a little bit of money at music instead of just grinding every day, playing gigs and, you know, developing my sound, which was great. But, you know, I'm like, oh, cool. I have a number one on Cube in Seattle with this hip hop group. And I just got $20 to play a show with them.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, being a big dreamer like you are and someone who continues to go after your passions, how do you handle setbacks? Because this is something I love talking to my listeners about, because that's what, you know, unfortunately keeps people, you know, from moving forward in what they desire, and they just stay, you know, stagnant or paralyzed because they're afraid of setbacks. So how do you handle them?
You know, it's such a grind. You really got to focus and just say, you know, get out of your headspace, honestly. Try and look at it with a different point of view outside. Like, why is it a setback? Did you not reach your goal? You know, why? Yeah, like, why is it a setback? Like, it's like, oh, you hit that gig? Okay, go get another one. Like, why didn't you get that gig? You know, figure it out, you know, and kind of rationalize it and also be realistic. And, you know, because I've had the ups and ups and just crazy downs where I had to sell my car to make an album, you know, and do things no one wants to do. You don't want to sell your music equipment that you bought to create music, and then, you know, you're selling your gear to survive and eat, put food on the table 1 month because you didn't set up those goals for yourself, or, you know, set up your year to where, like, I need this. And because for me, I think most Americans just get upset or get depressed just financially, you know. But that's not what life's about. But, yeah, you got to figure it out so you can be happy too. Unfortunately, you know, the world, you know, money makes the world go around, they say. It doesn't, you know, doesn't have to be if you set yourself up in the right way. You just have to make your goals. That's how I do. You know what I mean? Everyone's like base success off of different things, you know, and in the music industry, it's like platinum plaques and selling that much stuff, you know? And I was like, I've never sold that much stuff, you know? I've fortunate to have some cool accolades and stuff, but to me, I don't base my success on that. It's like today I woke up, have an interview with you. I think it's going great. That was a success, you know? And I'm on to the next thing. Was I successful in my day? I set goals for like 3-6 quarterly goals for myself because the music industry basically runs in quarters, you know? And that's how I set my life up. But that's not for everybody, you know what I mean? That's just how I set my year up. It's like I have like a top 10 list of things I want to get accomplished in a year and to set myself into the next year. And I try and get that done, you know? I'm really slow at putting music out there, and I'm trying to change that, you know? So I have a live album coming out. I think I'm just going to put it up on YouTube. I filmed a whole entire live album, and I was going to release it, but I was like, yeah, no one really buys live, you know, concert DVDs anymore. I'm just going to throw it up on YouTube. I have a remix album of Portrait of a Chameleon I want to, you know, release in the next 3 or 4 months, but, you know, I got to get all the contracts in place for all the remixers, and then I can put that out, you know, so... I got a music video for Disco in Space. I can throw that up on YouTube anytime, but I also have remixes for it, so I'm like, I should probably put those out at the same time. You know, and then things.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing all of it. You know, as I shared, you know, throughout this interview, you have been an inspiration of mine since American Idol, and I remember specifically being a big reason why I've been so encouraged by you over the years is because of the fact that you don't conform, and I'm sure that has probably, you know, on the outside looks like, you know, it's taken away some opportunities for you, but I believe because of that, you have so much more of a peace of mind, and you've been able to develop, you know, wonderfully like the artist you are, as opposed to being either boxed in or conforming to whatever, you know, a larger label that is not supportive of you is asking. And so that's really encouraged me and my artistry and, you know, and my passions to know that I too can continue moving forward in what I desire and being true to myself. You know, it's like when I think of you, I think of, you know, my number one favorite artist of all time, Prince, because he also, you know, didn't, you know, just conform to one genre of music. And he didn't say, well, it has to look like this, it'd be like this. Like, he did it the way he wanted to. And I think a lot of artists forget that and see, like, how he was able to be an example for all of us. And I feel you're an example for me as well, Blake, that, you know, you can be true to who you are and you can grow in that. And I feel like because of that, you know, there's so many hundreds and thousands of people you've been able, millions actually, that you've been able to influence over the years, and stories you might not even hear of people that you've been able to bless and encourage. And so I want to thank you for that. And, you know, and I continue to salute you, you know, and support whatever you have going on and whatever you're doing.
I appreciate that so much. It's a long road for all of us when we, you know, I guess art picks us, we don't pick it, you know, I mean, it's just kind of our calling to, you know, choose this path, I guess, you know, manifest our own death as far as being, whether you're a painter or a singer or a musician or a comic, you know, it's a road less traveled on for most humans, and, you know, to have your support's amazing, and I'm so thankful for it. So thank you for having me on your show, and I'm glad I could speak with you today.
Definitely. And so please share with everyone how they can stay updated with your happenings on social media, watch and subscribe to your YouTube channel, contact you for business inquiries, and then we're going to finish up talking about your brand new song, Survivor. That is one of my absolute favorites.
Awesome. So anything / Blake Lewis for social media, it goes straight to me, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then BlakeLewisOfficial.com is my website. And you can get booked through there. Yeah, it's like publicist management and booking email on there. far as shows. And, yeah, so that's awesome. How you reach me.
Great. And lastly, but not least, tell us about your song, which is one of my favorites off of Portrait of a Chameleon Survivor. It's super inspirational and encouraging. And then after you share about it, please introduce it as we finish up your interview.
Okay, well, Survivor, this song, it's all about overcoming adversity within. And I got really depressed after American Idol. It wasn't because of Idol. It was because of the machine. I was basically forced to sign with RCA, Clive Davis, and have management and this agency, CAA, which really weren't doing anything for me. And it was like one company was waiting on the other company to do something while they were waiting on someone, and no one knew what was going on. And it's like, oh, we're waiting for the record label. But after the record was released, which wasn't tested in markets, and that's what usually record companies do, and people are notorious. Mm-hmm. They send your album out to program directors. It didn't happen for me. Clive just was like, this is a single, boom. And it was the wrong song. And me and my management, and Ryan Tedder of One Republic, who I pretty much wrote and produced my whole album with, was like, okay, why didn't they go with this other song that should have been the single, which had Lupe Fiasco on it at the time, who was like third on Billboard. You know, it was like, where did the strategy go? Like, you have to strategize, because certain markets don't listen to certain types of music or styles, you know, and program directors know what's going to work in their market. That's why this happened. Mm-hmm. And it was just really weird. It was like almost getting, I don't know, like they didn't care. And it was basically Clive Davis's fault. Anyway, placing blame, not trying to, it was just the way it happened. You know what I mean? I had no control. I'm the artist. I'm to a major label where they think I'm basically just a television personality. I feel like they didn't really care so much. That's a double-edged sword of coming off a reality television show like American Idol, even though it's just a competition show and it was actually live and hugely successful. Still, me coming after proving myself day and night every week, that's great. But then I have to prove myself as a songwriter, and if I'm going to produce, you know, it's just a constantly, it's almost like a game. So after that, the economy collapsed almost immediately, and I just bought a house, and I immediately had to almost short sale it. It took like a year and a half to do. So I was like, I just had the most amazing experience on Idol. It was life-changing, amazing fun. And then I just got swallowed up and by Yes Men, basically just people that are just saying, sure, yeah, we can do that for you. And then them never coming through. So I stopped trusting anybody and myself. And I just got really depressed, especially because I was in a house I just bought that I had to let go, and all the money I'd made from television and gigs went out the door. So I basically came off American Idol broke for many reasons. One was just, I guess, you know, I made a bad investment, which, you know, everyone's like, the house is the best thing you can invest in. And it was kind of sad. I was having pity parties for myself, basically. I was just not going out. I was living in Washington. Didn't even tell people I was home, you know, and I wrote that song out of coming out of that slump of like, why am I doing this? I'm a happy-go-lucky person. Like, I have fun all the time, and you know, I love bringing people together and producing and events and music. And why is this happening to me? Not knowing that I was going through depression, because I'd never felt that in my life, and having panic attacks. Survivor's definitely a super personal song of just me coming out of that, just saying it's okay to ask for help, basically, because I've always been an independent person. Only a child, I was raised that way. My mom and dad are both very independent people individually. And, you know, that, and at that point I really needed to ask for help and, basically swallow my pride and, you know, and thus I finally wrote about it, and that's Survivor.
Mm. Wow. I love this song too. And I'm excited for our listeners to be able to hear this and encourage anyone who's going through a tough time, you know, that you're not alone and that there is a survivor that lives in you, and just to keep moving forward. And so I want to thank you so much to superstar Blake Lewis. Make sure you go and purchase Portrait of a Chameleon on iTunes, Amazon. You can also listen to it on Spotify or the, his official website if you want a physical copy, BlakeLewisOfficial.com, and catch one of his live shows coming up. Here is Blake Lewis's Survivor.
Moving to Dallas? Great! We definitely got room for you. You'll love it here. Dallas is the epitome of metropolitan southern charm. My name is Alex Mauricio with Modtown Realty. As a Dallas native, I love this city and would love to help you find a place to call home here. Whether you're looking to purchase or sell your home, please let me assist you in all your real estate needs. Call me today, 972-363-5720. That's 972-363-5720. Talk to y'all soon.
I am so thankful to have the support of mentors and inspirations like Evan Carmichael, who is a YouTube sensation with almost 100 million views and 700,000 subscribers from all around the world. He's a venture capitalist, published author. He has been featured in Forbes magazine, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Inc. magazine, and more. Listen to what he's saying about the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio and me.
I love it. I love your energy and the questions, and keep going at it. I think you got a nice show on your hands here. So everybody listening, go type in Sade Champagne Show into iTunes and give it a 5-star review.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Our next segment of the night is a brand new one from one of our brand new castmates for Season 3, Mind Right, Game Tight with Michelle Morgan. Join published author, speaker, and transformational sports coach Michelle Morgan as she shares inspirational stories of athletes who use the power of their mind to take their game to the next level in sports and in life. Hashtag MindRightGameTight to ask her your questions and join in the conversation.
Hi, this is Michelle Morgan with the MindRightGameTight segment here on the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Today's guest is Austin Okusan, and he is a professional basketball player, and he was born in Nigeria, and he moved to the United States when he was 14 years old, and he played Division I basketball at Seton Hall University, and he currently plays professional basketball overseas. So welcome to the show, Austin. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So how is it transitioning from another country into the United States? And were you already playing basketball in Nigeria, or is it something that you kind of found here in the United States?
The transition from Nigeria to here was amazing. It was something that I looked forward to as a young boy at 14 years old. Coming to America was a big deal. So I was excited. I was going to meet my family, but I was looking forward to being in America and being in a great country like this. And no, I didn't play basketball in Nigeria. In fact, I played soccer growing up. But everyone encouraged me to play basketball once I got here. If I had to pick it up because, you know, I kind of had no choice. So, yeah.
So how tall were you at 14 years old? Because, you know, you're sitting down right now, so people might not know how tall you are. How tall are you?
I'm 6'10".
So
I'm 6'10" right now. But at 14, I was about, I think 6'5". I was really tall at a young age.
Got it.
About like 6'4", 6'5", something like that. Yeah.
So that's why everyone said you need to play basketball and stop kicking the soccer ball around.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that my whole life. I would be on a soccer pitch and people would constantly kind of mock me for being there. Like, you should be on the basketball court, you know. So,
yeah.
I was kind of forced into it, but I'm glad I did it because I love basketball.
Awesome.
So, and it's been a great experience, you know, playing the game. And I mean, my source of income and, you know, my passion as well now. So
right.
It found out really well.
That's awesome. Getting to do what you love to do. And then you're currently playing basketball overseas. How long have you been playing basketball overseas?
Since 2010. I graduated college in 2010 and I became a pro the same year. Played in the NBA D League for a little bit and just traveled the world ever since, playing from country to country every season.
So you played basketball in the D League. So describe that journey that you took. Like, how does that happen where you graduate from Seton Hall and then how you continue your playing career? For people who aren't aware of how do people play professionally overseas, like sometimes we're only aware of, you know, the NBA, but there are professional athletes all over the world. So how did that process and that journey look like for you from graduating college?
First, it was something that I was looking forward to with anticipation, but not knowing what I was getting into. That's a whole different board game playing professionally. With the D-League, I submitted my name into the D-League draft, and I had some highlights in college, and a lot of people knew who I was playing from a big name school. So it was easy for me to get drafted to the NBA D-League, and I had to go there to training camp to make the team, which I did, and I built my resume from there, and I hired an agent who has the connections overseas, and when I decided to get out of the D-League a few years later, it was easy for him to get me a job in Spain, where I played my first season. And it is quite challenging going to another country where they speak a different language. For example, being in Spain, they're speaking Spanish a lot. You guys don't think speak English. Being far away from home, a whole different weather, you know, different society. They have their norms and things that you're not used to. It's just a lot of challenges you have to face, and you have to find a way to overcome it to just perform at a high level to be able to keep a job.
Awesome. And so how have you seen your game develop as a professional athlete? Like you said, like it was a whole nother ball game when you got to the D-League coming out of, you know, college. And so how have you seen your game develop as a professional athlete? And then what skills are you currently improving on?
Right now I'm working on being more of an offensive player. I mean, I've been known for my defense over the years, but right now I'm working on being more of an offensive player, developing skills on the post, being able to shoot the mid-range and the three-point shot. And it's a process, and it's something that you have to do every day. It's like anything, the more you put in the time, the better you get. Mm-hmm. So I'm just dedicating myself to my craft daily with a focus on my offense to becoming a more rounded player.
And I can say that I've definitely have seen that in, like, the videos that you show that you post on Instagram and those highlights. I, you know, because I remember watching you, I think it was in the Drew League when I went to go see you play. And then, you know, seeing those clips that you have now, I can totally see the offensive mindset that you've created. That's awesome. I applaud you, because to develop those skills aren't easy. And so to continue to improve, I think that's awesome. And I can definitely see the improvement that you made in, you know, putting your focus also on the offensive side of the ball as well. So great job, Austin.
Thank you.
And so throughout your travels through different countries, how many countries have you traveled to in terms of playing professionally?
That's a lot. A lot. I can give you about 10 to 12 right now, but it's a lot. I've been to the Dominican. I've been to Germany, Spain, Italy, France, Australia, China, Japan, Qatar, Dubai, which is the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Iran.
wow, everywhere.
Yeah, I've traveled quite a bit. So it's something that it's quite challenging, but it is my passion, and I'm a better person for seeing the world through basketball. So I'm glad I've done it.
And so through becoming a better person, through seeing the world, what country did you play in? What country taught you the most about life?
Egypt. I remember being in Egypt and seeing the pyramids and seeing the Nile and all the things you read in the Bible growing up as a kid, like being able to be in a place like Egypt and seeing that, and also seeing how Christians and Muslims are living there together, and how in America you're taught that most people in this part of the world are terrorists and all this stuff. And in reality, it's not really true, because I found out that those people just want the same things that people here want for their kids. You know, like I see parents with their kids at the mall on weekends. I see parents taking their kids to soccer practices, to tennis practices, every day after school, and just doing the same things that we do here. To go grocery shopping, it's a nice, peaceful environment. There's some conflict there, but they're basically human beings just like us, trying to live the same life that we live here. So it really was a big eye-opening experience to see that. Also, Iran, being to Iran was also big for me. Seeing how I thought I was going to a war zone, going to Iran, but it is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. I felt like I was somewhere in Europe, really. It did not look like a Middle East country. So it was a big eye-opener for me, and I learned so much from being there.
That's awesome, because I think it's important with just what you're saying, how, you know, sometimes we're getting the cover of the book and we don't know what's really inside of it. And we need to come in contact to more people to know that it's not what we think it is. And that's where we create the fear and the division between us as human beings, because we think we're so different and that, you know, we can't get along. But it's like you said, like, you know, they're taking their kids to soccer practice, same thing they do here and, you know, anywhere else. So it's like, We really are united, so I think it's great that you get to bring that education back to the people that you surround yourself with so that you can educate us on, oh, wow, like, Iran's a beautiful country. We're not shown those images. So
right.
It's great to be able to speak to someone who, you know, comes from the outside and gets to go in and see it looking in. So that's awesome. So can you describe an experience that you had maybe in junior high, high school, or at the college level where you faced adversity, and then how did you overcome it?
One of the toughest experiences I faced in college was not playing as much minutes as I wanted to, feeling like I was better than the guy that was there before and being overlooked. And I remember coming in as a junior, because I went to a junior college before where I did 2 years, and I came into Seton Hall as a junior and not playing right away for the entire half of the season, playing just minimal minutes. It was really frustrating. There were times I thought of transferring and I was like, this wasn't my place. But I remember sticking it out. I remember telling myself, I remember letting it piss me off enough to go to practice every day and just try to outwork the guy that was starting. My mentality was, I want to take his head off every time I come to practice. And I went at him every single day to the point where the assistant coaches were telling the coach, you have to start Augustine. And he's proven that he's better. He's more athletic than John. And they started me a few games. I performed really well. And I remember for the rest of the season, I was starting most of the games, even in the biggest tournament, which is a really big deal. I remember they started me most of those games. And I felt great in the end. But it wasn't an easy start. It really wasn't an easy start. I had to create a mindset of sink or swim. You know, you either let this bring you down or you're going to swim your way out of it. And I fought my way out of it. So, you know, that was one of the toughest experiences, but it turned out good in the end.
And then who helped you? Because you mentioned your mindset. Like, you had to, you know, change your mindset, either sink or swim. So did you have any people that also supported you that knew what you were going through to kind of always, like, to continue to encourage you to help support that mindset? Because sometimes we can, you know, we get so hard on ourselves, just like, you know, I feel like I should be playing. But, you know, you told yourself you're going to put the work in. You're not just going to stay the same just because you want to show you should be playing. Like, you had to put work in to now your actions show that, you know, that you should be playing, and you develop more and more skills through working hard. So did you have a support system in developing and getting to that point, developing your skills more and working even harder?
Yes, I did. My mom was a big factor. She had played basketball in the past, back in the 60s. She played basketball in Nigeria. So, yeah, she won a bronze medal in the African Cup for women. Yeah, back in
the
day.
Awesome.
So, yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but yeah, my mom did play basketball. She was 6'1", so she played for the country back in Nigeria. And she's big on basketball back then, and so she knew what I was facing. She gave me great advice to stay patient, to stay working, and that there was things I could control and the things I couldn't. I remember her saying that always, like, the things you can control is how hard you work, how much you want to prove to the person that has the control to be able to put you in the position that you want. So she was a very big factor. My guardian at the time in the U.S. was a big factor. I had an assistant coach who I was close to, and I would vent to him, and one of the things he told me was, work hard, just stay humble and work hard. And eventually I would watch video also. I remember watching video and seeing the things that guy was doing so well that I wasn't so good at. I felt like I was more athletic, I was younger, but he was a little bit more experienced. So I started to see the things he would do right. And I just worked on myself, worked hard, but did a lot of things better to earn what I ended up getting in the end. So it was well deserved.
Awesome. So yeah, I totally agree. And it's great that you talk about that, because not just in sports, but sometimes in life, we feel like we might deserve a little bit more. But just hearing your story, it goes to show that you have to put the action in. You know, everything will stay the same if you don't put no action towards it. So if you're unhappy with whatever situation is, and there's something that you got to change in your action steps, because like your mom said, you're the only one can control that, because you got to put the action in yourself. So that's awesome. What are three traits besides talent and skill do you recommend for student athletes to work on to take their game to the next level?
Say humility. Mm-hmm. Humility, being able to a lot of times we do this, you know, sometimes we're just talking, we would love to talk, you know, sometimes you need to be able to listen. And as much as I'm a speaker, I've learned over the years to spend some time and take criticism, sit back some time and hear someone watch you from the outside in, because you don't know, watch someone see what you're doing wrong and tell you, being able to take criticism, humble yourself enough to hear it. Being humble, the aspect of being humble is being able to humble enough to hear what people have to say about your game. a lot of times you don't see yourself that, in general, you don't see yourself better than someone sitting from the outside looking inside you. You know, when you're running on the basketball court, you don't see a lot of things that people from the outside see. So mm-hmm. If you're humble enough to take advice from someone that has some experience and they're watching you and they're saying, hey, you can do this better, you can do that better, that level of humility to be able to accept it and work on it is something I think that most athletes need. The aspect of having some sort of, some people call it cockiness. I call it swag / confidence. Every great player that I've known, like the Michael Jordan, the Kobe Bryant, they have a swag to them. They have a cockiness to them. But it's what gives them some sort of fire to compete at a high level. So if you have that and you're able to humble yourself to listen at the same time, which they kind of contradict each other, but you have to find a middle ground where you can be able to listen and still have this other part of you that has this strong personality to go out there and take care of business, then I think you should be fine. I don't know if I answered it quite correctly, but...
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, I think part of... I mean, you can have swag and still listen. Like, swagger doesn't mean you're the... You know it all, you know, because if I want to get better... I'm going to improve myself, and that's part of the swag. That's the confidence that I can get better. So in order to get better, I have to be able to take information and be coachable and listen from others as well, because we don't know it all. We don't know everything. So, yes, I totally agree, and those are great things. So I want to thank you, Austin, for being on the Mind Right Game Tight show. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I've seen you develop, and I think it's awesome to see your skills continue to develop. I think that is so important. And I think it's an inspiration because it's not easy to do those things. So that's awesome what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And you're also great outside of basketball, because I know you outside of basketball as well. So you're a great person. And I'm so excited to know that your mom played basketball. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Once again, thank you, Austin. And then, you know, we look forward to seeing you continue on your journey, and you're welcome back anytime to share any more wisdom on your journey. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to episode 53 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Right now is our Entrepreneurs on the Move segment. Usually I feature one of my favorite entrepreneurs, but this time I wanted to share with you about my journey into entrepreneurship. So, dictionary.com defines entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. Also, an employer of productive labor or a contractor, which I fit into the category of all of those things. I have been an entrepreneur for pretty much almost as long as I have been an artist. You know, it started when I was a child, and I've always been super passionate about it. My mom was an Amway growing up, and so I remember listening to messages from Les Brown and Zig Ziglar and Dexter Yeager. So when I was young, I always, even from a young age, I already had a huge vision and a huge imagination, and I was able to dream big. I always saw things from an expansive perspective, you know, and I knew, you know, when I was younger that I always wanted to be my own boss, and I always wanted to create new opportunities for others. I never wanted to be someone who has to wait on people to get on board or jump on something or to be a part of something or to present me with something. I am all about taking the initiative and jumping feet in and head first and entire being into what I'm passionate about and what I love. When I was 11 years old, I started braiding hair. I started with my own hair and my baby doll's hair. And when I turned 13, I turned it into a mini enterprise, and I just started braiding my family members and friends and people at school's hair, and I would charge for it. And this was super helpful to me because in the environment that I grew up in, there wasn't always enough funding, although my parents did the best that they could. And I just had a concept of money from a very young age and knowing that I wanted to use it in the best way possible, and I wanted to be able to help others with it, and I didn't want to have my parents spending a lot of money on me for different things that weren't necessities. And when I was in school, I started mentoring other students when I was in choir, and I was the co-choir director by my junior year, and so
actually starting my sophomore year, I started mentoring other students who wanted to sing and perform. And when we did our solo concerts, and I would just help to bring, give them confidence and help them pick out their songs and just really be there to support them during that time, because I knew how nerve-wracking it could be. I'm so thankful because over the years, I've been able to create a ton of opportunities for other performers and speakers and other dreamers. And this is all what I've always dreamed of. You know, I'm thankful to be living these dreams and being able to help other people. And one of the cool things with being an entrepreneur is it's not about how much money you have. A lot of people think because you're an entrepreneur, or even anyone who's living their dreams full time, that it means we have a lot of money. We oftentimes don't always have, unless if you've gotten to a certain point, a lot of times entrepreneurs, we don't have a large cash flow. It's like we usually have a small cash flow and we have to work, get a lot done with a very little. But we oftentimes have greater resources or really great connections, and we've built up wonderful resumes and we're able to create something out of nothing. I want to be able to encourage other entrepreneurs, you know, who, or people who are up and coming, and you want to be able to get involved with entrepreneurship, because there's some people who will work for them to work for someone else and to be an employee, and that's fine. I feel like everyone should be, you know, what they desire to be. And for others, that may be where they are right now, but they're dreaming of being an entrepreneur and having their own business. So I want to give you all some of my favorite tips. First, it's important to find trades or develop new skills you like. It's important to find trades or develop new skills that you like. You know, think of all the different things that you're able to do that come either easily to you or that you're interested in or passionate about. I'm sure there's a way that you can be able to service the world and help others and make money through those certain skills that you have. And it's beneficial because what happens is it helps to be able to bring in extra cash flow to help fund your dreams or to help fund your businesses and different things that you're doing, whether it be, you know, mentoring, speaking, coaching, instructing, if you know how to tutor, hairstyling, you know, if you have any type of certification, those are, you know, that's great to be able to use that to build that trade up and to build up your clientele. Also, patience. That's one of the main things we're going to talk about with entrepreneurship and just anyone who has a dream. Patience is huge. Like, we can't rush things to happen. All great things take time. When I think of my dreams and my passions, I've been pursuing these things for over 12 years now, professionally and full time. But even before I graduated from high school, I was pursuing what I love. So technically, you can say I've been pursuing this my whole life and what has led me to this point. And I'm super thankful for that. But a lot of times people think it's going to happen overnight, and that's just not the way that it works. Things take time. Yes, there are a few success stories where it seemed like it happened overnight, but that person is the exception, or those businesses are the exception. The majority of us, it has been a long, slow grind and progression and acceleration. Internships. Find out what internships are either going on in your community or near you that you can be a part of that have to do with business, entrepreneurship, or whatever you're passionate about. You know, and there might not be an internship that's going on at that time, but you can actually get it started by you going in there and saying, hey, I want to be able to help you with anything that you need. I can get your coffee. You know, I can do paperwork, I can do emailing, I can clean up your office, whatever you need in order to be able to have an internship and be here in this business. And it makes a huge difference, and you don't know how people will open up to you, and it puts you in an environment of people that are doing what you love. Mentorship. I think mentors are huge. I am a huge advocate for mentorship. I have mentors of my own. I also mentor up-and-coming artists and entrepreneurs and dreamers, and so mentorship is huge. Watch videos and YouTube channels of people that are doing what you love or who are also inspirational. One of my favorites is one of my mentors, Evan Carmichael. You probably know him from seeing like the top 10 rules of success videos and the motivational videos on YouTube. He has over 100 million views now, and I'm sure over 800,000 subscribers, and he's phenomenal. He is an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur coach, and author, and a venture capitalist, inspirational speaker, so many amazing things that he does. And so I love watching Evan Carmichael's YouTube channel and Gary Vee and many other people as well. Read a lot of books. it's important to be able to learn and soak up what we need to know. You know, reading is huge, and I know it's kind of an old-fashioned thing nowadays, depending on who you're talking to, but reading will never go out of style. Entrepreneur Magazine is one of my favorite magazines I love to read because you're able to stay up to date with what's happening in business and entrepreneurship, and you always can get new ideas about whether it's places you want to travel to or people you want to partner with or different things that are happening and going on. Be out in your community. Be out in your community. It's going to be hard to build clientele in order to build partnerships, in order to grow in what you're passionate about if you're only sticking to yourself. As an entrepreneur, as someone who's a dreamer, visionary, and who wants to start a business, you have to be out in your community. That's how you're going to be able to find out what's going on, what people like, what the needs are in the community, you know, how you can be able to be of help to others and how they can support you as well. And lastly, partner with other passionate and visionary people. Partner with other passionate and visionary people. We all know this famous quote where it basically says in so many words that we are the company we keep. And I think more so it means that it's important to be in an uplifted environment as opposed to, you know, thinking, oh, I can just be by myself and it doesn't matter, you know, in the environment that I'm in. Always allow yourself to be around encouraging and supportive people, inspiring and empowering people who are helping to push and elevate you forward in what you desire and what you're passionate about. I can't wait to hear your stories about how you are diving into entrepreneurship. It's not for everyone, but a lot of people are passionate about it nowadays. We'll see if they stick in it for the long haul because entrepreneurs, we are a crazy bunch. You definitely have to have a special type of attitude and perspective to be about it. We definitely are risk takers when it comes to our dreams and what we're passionate about, and we see the outcome and we see things from a long perspective. So as we wrap up this episode's Entrepreneurs on the Move segment, I want to go over the tips that I have given you. Find trades or develop new skills you like. Patience, internships, mentorship, watch videos and YouTube channels. One of my faves is one of my mentors, Evan Carmichael. Read a lot of books. Entrepreneur Magazine is one of my favorite magazines. Be out in your community and partner with other passionate and visionary people. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 53 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and sharing my radio show. Next week, our special guest includes one of my dear friends, Jit Chronicles, who is the only original member of Grindhard Radio Network. We will have some surprise special guests, too. We also have a brand new Entrepreneurs on the Move segment, Sharing Your Story with Aya Kunle segment, and Living with Fearless Joy with Rick and Melissa Wood segment. Thanks to Grindhard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows. Thanks to Travis Miller for creating and producing my theme song and to Scott Swish for mixing the song. Thanks to Kata Mafiaso for helping me to create our new radio drop. Thanks to my celebrity guests, Blake Lewis and castmate Michelle Morgan. Our final song of the night is Jackie's Boy with Mad Love. I'm Sade Champagne and thanks for listening to my radio show. I am forever grateful for your support. We'll see you next Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time right here on Grindhard Radio.
Take my last dime and split that with you too. They say that I'm crazy, can't help but think maybe. As soon as you touch my hand, that's when I knew, baby. No, it's never been perfect, but it's always been perfect for us. Cause this is that mad love. Cry when you cry, love. That die if you die, love. That fight if you fight, love. This is that mad love. That argue and scream, love. That we are a team, love. Mess with you, mess with me, love. Remember bills on the table. Wondering how we gon' pay. So dancing in the living room, to every song we play. And if there wasn't a heaven, I would be okay, knowing that every moment it was when I saw your face. 'Cause no, it's never been perfect, but it's always been perfect for us. 'Cause this is a man, love, that cry when you cry, love, that die if you die, love, that fight if you fight, love. This is a man, love, that argue and scream, love, that we are a team, love. Mess with you, mess with me, love. Oh. Without you and me, where would I be if there ain't no you and me? 'Cause this is a mad love, that cry when you cry, love, that die if you die, love, that fight if you fight, love. This is a mad love, that argue and scream, love, that we are a team.
Releasing the stress, we were born to shine.